you mean, when am I going to get my hair cut? It is cut. This is it. No, I thought I went for it. I mean, look, this is a little shorter back here. You see how the front is straightened up a little bit? Yeah, I was a little scared, but I decided I'm just going to go for it, and I kind of like it. I mean, this is my personal opinion. You're allowed to have another opinion. All right, let's get down to business. I promised you yesterday I was going to look at 11 commandments that ISIS has drafted for Christians living in this is a particular district. I don't know how widespread this is, but Christians are being really told to obey these commandments or else what? They'll be killed. ISIS, as you know, is a terrible militant branch of the Islamic religion that is striving for jihad to eventually take over the world. They are extremely violent because they feel they have to kill for Allah. Now, this plays in big time with the end times because, according to Daniel, four religions, spiritual entities are coming out of the sea in Daniel chapter 7, and one of them is a leopardess. As we are going to see in detail, the leopardess is Islam. It is on the move. It is the most rapidly moving religion in the world. Might not be as large as Christianity right now, but its speed is unprecedented. It's on the move. But I know what's going to happen next. I know what's going to happen next because of prophecy. Folks, don't think that prophecy is only so that when all is said and done, we can look back and say that God told it ahead of time. That's not the case. Or else the prophecy that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem wouldn't have come before the desk of the high priest, and they told that information to the three wise guys, and they went to visit the baby Jesus. No, prophecy is for people in the day to understand. And so we come to understand what's going to happen. And Islam is really rattling the saber now, and they're gaining ground, but it's not going to last. But in the meantime, I have an object lesson here. What, the sun come out on me or what? I just saw my lighting went all to smash. Hang on a second. I'm going to try something. I don't like that. It's too bright. Ooh, yeah. I kind of like what happened there. Do you? Let's brighten it up just a tad. Okay, I got this piece of hair sticking out. Well, I didn't say I combed it yet. I just got a cut. That doesn't necessarily mean that I groomed. All right, we have an object lesson here. And the object lesson is, people are so apt to think of religion as outward observances, and people are hung up on the ritual, and they think that if they're not doing the ritual, then they can't practice their religion. It's outward, it's external, and we see a great example of it here, especially at glennbeck.com. But before I go there, I'm going to go to a website called gospelherald.com. This is an article by Leah Marianne Klett, and this is the name of the article is ISIS issues list of 11 rules for Christians living in captured Syrian town. Threaten death to those caught praying out loud to Jesus Christ. Or you probably already know what I'm going to say about that, but I'm not going to comment until I get to glennbeck.com. For now, I'm going to touch on parts of this article. The Islamic State has issued a safety contract for Christians living in Qaradian Syria, comprised of 11 specific commandments, including one which prohibits praying out loud to Jesus Christ under penalty of death. These people are deadly serious. And in no way am I ever excusing murder in the name of a faith by human beings. God doesn't murder, by the way. He kills. He does not murder. The commandment says, thou shalt not murder. Does not say, thou shalt not kill. This is a violent, violent group. But this is some progress here. And if I don't know how widespread it is, but in this town, they're giving 11 commandments. And they're giving you a chance. Like, unless you comply with these, you're dead. But if you do comply with them, you can live in safety. Right? Because they have safety zones. According to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, Christians in the captured town will have to pay the jizya, or jizya tax, imposed on non-Muslims. Jizya. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to shorten it to jiz. just because I don't like that whole word there. I think that sounds better, a jizz tax. So that's what I want to make that. Imposed on non-Muslims in addition to the other commandments issued by the extremist group's leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. The watch group listed the 11 stipulations which prohibit the blah, 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 blah. I'm going to go into the specifics when I get to Glenn Beck's site, which I'm going to do soon here. The list of rules concluded, quote, if they comply with these conditions, so they have are safe in their lands. That's actually what it says. This is a quote from ISIS, so it's not really grammatically correct. I'm not sure how studious those folks are in the grammar department. I'm going to read it verbatim as I see it on GospelHerald.com. If they comply with these conditions, so they have are safe in their lands, money and souls, and they are not going to pay one tenth except they bring money to trade from outside the IS territories. All right, forget about it. You get the idea. Now on to GlennBeck.com after I check what my hair is doing. Oh, where did my video... The lighting went bad. I don't know what's happening with this. Let me try something else here. This lighting... It's really making me crazy here today. All right, this will have to do. All right, I am going to, that's what happens when I get on a website and I can't monitor the situation. GlennBeck.com. Here is his headline. Would you sign this contract and conform or be killed? This is how he begins. As I finish up Sunday services here in a land where we are free to practice our religion, all right, already we can see that religion to Glenn Beck is a Sunday service. It's a ceremony where you go to a place to visit God. We are free to practice our religion. What does he mean by practice our religion? Am I not free to show the fruits of Christ? Am I free to do that? Or does that depend on government? Does that depend on an army to protect me? So what does it mean by practice here? He can't mean practice in the sense of doing good to others. Showing the love of Christ to others, because no one can outlaw that. By freedom, he means these outward trappings that people think belong to faith, but are really rote practices that have nothing to do with true faith. Not just worship, but practice it. See, it's all about the practice. On the other side of the world, Christians are laying their head down on their pillow and getting ready to start a new week. Quoting the article still, while we go on to have family gatherings, picnics, or spending time with loved ones, they are having to sign this contract. If they do not, they will be killed, beheaded, crucified, and their wives and children sold into slavery. All terrible stuff. I would really try and pray and hope to hell that I would be able to sign this document. And you know what? I can. Glenn then asks, would you sign this? Most don't. Most don't? Are you kidding me? How important is the outward trappings of faith to you? You must be associating the trappings of faith with faith itself. The only reason I could think that you would sign this. Listen to this list. One, this is what they're asking. Most of us do some of these things already because our schools, sporting functions, public ceremonies demand some of the same conformity that ISIS requires. And there's people still don't want to do that. Just shut up and obey the rules, people. That's what I tell Christians. Shut up and do what they want you to do. They're not asking you to surrender your faith. If they do that, that's another thing. But ISIS isn't even doing that. Here's what ISIS says. One, Christians may not build churches, monasteries, or hermitages in the city or in the surrounding areas. I would say fantastic. Christians may not build churches. I wish that was a law in the U.S. Because churches are the gathering place of demons where they teach you wonderful things like eternal torment, human free will, God is a failure of a savior, and on it goes. No monasteries? I'm all for that because people become freaks in monasteries. Look at the way they feel they have to cut their head like a freaking donut with hair, a hairy donut on their head. Get rid of monasteries. Hermitages. People become hermits. Get rid of all this stuff. You're going to tell me I can't build a church or have a hermitage? No problem. I got number one down pat. Number two, they may not show the cross on any of their books in the Muslim streets or markets and may not use amplifiers when worshiping or during prayer. This is going to really hurt the Christians if this happened in the U.S. Not use amplifiers. See, either my wife is sold into slavery and my children are sold into slavery, Or I have to stop using amplifiers during prayer. That's a tough one. Wife and children, amplifiers. They need this crap in America. And apparently they must be doing this like idiots in Islam, in the Middle East. Are you kidding me? And show the cross? No problem. When I see the cross, I realize that I got a religious poison here. We got a religious poison here. Poison of religious persuasion because they have to have this Madonna thing hanging. Now, oh, Madonna has a cross. She must be a member of the body of Christ. Yeah. Jesus wasn't even crucified on a cross. He was crucified on a stake. Are you kidding me? I'm at 10 minutes already. I've been too busy messing with my lighting here. I'm going to have to probably stop at number 3. And there's 11 of these things. This is so illustrative, and I love these object lessons. Don't show the cross, no problem. Or any of their books in the Muslim street. Okay, I've written books. I'd love to give you my books. I want people to get my books. But if you tell me that if I put my books in the street, then you will enslave my children, kill me, no problem. In fact, I told you a story before of a guy in Florida who was actually a street minister, except he was on the good side, but he would go out and talk to people cold. He'd cold call people, not even cold call them. He'd walk up to them on the street and say, "Hey, have you heard of Jesus Christ?" And he'd give out my books to them, you see. And I was all happy about it. He sent me more books, Martin, until one day he actually called me to come visit him. I was going down there. I visited him. He said, "You need to come with me on my little street preaching extravaganza." And I just like, "Oh, please don't make me do this." He goes, "Come on, Martin. I thought you were bold." "No, I don't want to go. Please, you go. This is your thing. It's not my thing." He talked me into it. I went out there. He's like, goes up to people just out of the blue. They're standing there smoking a cigarette, minding their own business. I wanted to keep them minding their own business. He would say, "This guy wrote a book, and he wants you to read it." "No, no, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't. If you don't want to read it, I don't care. It's fine. You don't have to read my book. Smoke your cigarette. That's fine. Go your own way. He wants you to read my book, not me." Anyway, I was like just trying to find a shadow of a tree, trying to just hide behind this guy. And he got so disgusted with me. He says, "Zender, I thought you were bold." I said, "Well, I am, but I'm not an idiot." I didn't say that. but, you know, if this is your calling, right? I didn't say that, honestly. But I said, "This is your calling, and it's not my calling. I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. I'll write the books and send them to you as long as we can please go home now, because I don't want to do this anymore." And so we went home. So ISIS wants me to keep my books off the street. That is not a problem, sirs, messieurs. I will obey you, and I will obey actually every single thing on this list, because spirituality is not a matter of building churches or going to a Sunday service or worrying about losing your freedom to worship or your freedom to be what you are, which is a member of the body of Christ. There's no government that can make you free. Therefore, there's no government that can take it away. If you live by the government, you die by the government. If you live by a sponsored church, a government allowed church, then you die by that same standard. We are not of this spirit. We worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and nobody can take that away. Tomorrow, the rest of the commandments.